Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Have you ever looked up at the sky and wondered, where are all those stars and what do they mean? Sometimes it's easier to see them than others, and that's all because of light pollution. But we're very fortunate in South Australia to have a dark sky reserve, which you may not even know it's on our doorstep in Manham. Now, Dark Sky Tour founder Kelly Coon is joining us on the podcast today to tell us all about what a dark sky reserve actually means. Welcome to the podcast, Kelly.
I appreciate the time and the invite. Thank you.
This is absolutely fascinating because only the other day I went up to the hills, and whilst I was up in the hills, I could see the stars really clearly. The closer I got to Adelaide, the less and less I saw the stars.
Yes, well, we're fortunate in South Australia. Regional cities all around the world really are becoming more and more heavily affected by light pollution. In fact, one third of our world's population live in cities and can't see the stars. So it's good to be able to have these internationally accredited dark sky places. There's 200 dark sky places around the world. And they're accredited by an association in the US. The one that we've got, as you said, Kerry, on Adelaide's doorstep is the River Murray International Dark Sky Reserve. And last year we also had the accreditation for Arkaroola as an international dark sky sanctuary. So these places are very unique, and it's sort of like heritage listing the sky. You know, we have conservation parks and national parks for flora and fauna on the ground, but this is a new movement for protecting darkness.
So it is a new movement, as you say, and it is worldwide. Is there anything specific or special about our dark sky reserve here, Kelly?
Yes, so this is the first one and currently the only dark sky reserve in Australia. There's only three in the southern hemisphere, two are in New Zealand. So there's different categories. There's dark sky sanctuaries, dark sky parks, dark sky reserves and dark sky communities. And so the one that we're in the River Murray International Dark Sky Reserve, basically means there has to be a core site and one council area that makes it really helpful for introducing policy and planning to help reduce light pollution. So, yeah, we're very fortunate here. The other thing, of all those 200 dark sky places in all those categories around the world, this is the closest one to a capital city. That's because we're protected by the geographical barrier of the Mount Lofty Ranges. So in the River Murray International Dark Sky Reserve, that area is so close to the access for people that are coming in internationally, especially we have a lot of people on our tours from Southeast Asia quite commonly and all around the world really. So it just makes it easy for them to access from an airport.
And that accessibility, of course, is important when you're talking about a tour perspective.
Absolutely it is, yes. Our tour, we have two options. Our main one is our Dark Sky Gold Stars Sunset Dinner Tour, and we depart from Manham, so only a 90-minute drive from Adelaide, and then we go for 7 hours into the Dark Sky Reserve and showcase the best of the region. It's like the fabric of the society, how we live here, why it's dark. We go to Swan Reach Hotel or Beaufield Store for dinner, and over dinner our tour hosts give a presentation of how the Dark Sky Reserve was accredited. And it takes 4 years for accreditation to be achieved because you need to have light measurements. And during that process, the application gets launched to the Dark Sky Committee in the US, and then they take a long time to be able to assess these places. And you can't just rest on your laurels. Every year, our Dark Sky Committee has to provide a report to show that we're still dark. So our presentation covers that and how we've been in operation since October 2019 when the accreditation was announced. And since then, of course, we had amazing interruptions, not just COVID, global pandemic, but also the 1-in-100-year Murray River floods. So it's been a bit of a journey, but we're pleased to say we're sort of continued all through that time. So the presentation is interesting. The dinner is amazing. We showcase regional produce. We also visit Noort Noort, the Aboriginal archaeological site. This is an incredibly important place where it's an ancient rock shelter, 8,000-year-old Aboriginal rock shelter, and Indigenous tour guides give about 1 hour tour of this rock shelter. It's the very first archaeological dig recorded in Australia's history. And, yeah, it's quite fascinating. Aboriginal people are known as the world's first astronomers, so it's wonderful to get their perspective on the dark sky and how they used starlight to navigate, travelling down the river on canoe, trees. So it's really amazing experience that a lot of people will just find a real value add. And then the pinnacle, like the icing of the cake of the experience, is meeting our astronomer on the clifftop, with a massive telescope and also laser pointer and interpretive information about, you know, just wondering what's up there and how we can explain the constellations and different planets that we see in all different times of the year. There's different things to see in the sky.
I'm talking to Kelly Kuhn, Jugglehouse Experiences. She's the founder of the Dark Sky Tour, because we have a dark reserve here in South Australia. So, Kelly, trying to envisage how big is this dark sky reserve, because I would imagine when you're talking about a seven-hour tour, although a lot of it is spent chatting with the astronomer, and how big is it?
Good question. It is 3,200 square kilometres, so it really starts just outside of Mannum, goes to Boat Hill, around Walker Flats, Swan Reach, Blanchetown, and then into Paynton towards the Barossa. Palmer is included as well, the beautiful Palmer Rocks, and the Mannum Waterfalls are just outside of it. So it is really a very large area, and relative to South Australia's landscape, and as we said, easily accessible and blocked there by the Mount Lofty Ranges. So it does take a great amount of, I guess, imagination to explore all of the detail of the region. One of the things that we really pride ourselves on is accessibility, as we've talked about already, and it's very fascinating and people get a real surprise of how the people live here. We talk about our council region and how we work with progress associations and, yeah, just the volunteer effort that takes place here. And it's, yeah, quite extraordinary to be able to see the enlightenment on people's faces when we get to the clifftop, and the clouds sometimes are around, but mostly this is an area known for its cloudless skies, and sometimes it's like a curtain to the show. They'll just draw just as we arrive to the clifftop, and yeah, and people stagger around just wondering what's up there. And I'm really fascinated to see the reaction, especially of people that have never really seen a huge amount of stars in their life. Some people have never seen any stars, and especially those nights in winter when it's really crisp, cold night, and the Milky Way is vibrant usually in June, July, August, even May sometimes, but it's starting to just shine up so bright that we can see the river underneath, sometimes illuminated. So it's fascinating to watch people's reaction. Quite emotional, to be honest. A lot of people, you know, might have learnt about it in books and school, and then when they actually see the Milky Way, which is the centre of our galaxy, it's incredible.
And Kelly, how does the tour actually work, and how do Jugglehouse Experiences get involved in this? Because you've got a background in tourism, and of course, very fortunate to have Monarto Zoo up there. And when you go up and visit, you can make a real weekend out of it, can't you?
Absolutely. There's a great number of things to do in the Murray River Lakes and Coorong region all around here. So I personally have been involved in the South Australian tourism industry for a number of years and had a background working at Monarto Safari Park and media and policy and planning as well in tourism. So it's been wonderful for the skills that I've gained over time to generate into that storytelling of the region. So I'm not an astronomer. That's not my job. The tour hosts that come with us, our role is to tie everything together. The components of the astronomy session, the Aboriginal tour, and also the dinner and the presentation. So I was already operating tours for houseboat groups up at the River Murray area, and also in the Adelaide Hills and Barossa, and corporate work. And when the announcement came, it was something that really, I guess, for the tourism businesses that are here, we rallied around and had conversation about what we were going to offer, which is actually exceptional because in lots of other places around the world and Australia, it's quite competitive. But because there's not that many of us here living here and working here in tourism, we do work together and pool our resources. So that was quite a good start for the whole experience that we offer here. There are other tourism businesses like Big Bend by Night who do a nocturnal stargazing tour up at the Big Bend Cliffs as well. And, yeah, so for me, I just thought what a great way to step into something incredibly worthy. You know, we all need to play our part in the protection of darkness. It's not just humans that have detrimental effects for too much light. Our animals in the area as well need darkness to navigate for their breeding cycles, insects, you know, diet, all sorts. So that really is how it started off, by the chairperson of Mid-Murray Landcare, Chris Tugwell. He was the instigator behind it, approached council. A River Murray International Dark Sky Reserve Committee still exists and works holistically on this project. And we do have some fantastic hopes and dreams for one day having a planetarium or observatory, visitor centre, some centrepiece that we can have to showcase, and not just about leisure, but astronomy and research and defence. You know, South Australia is well ahead of its game in that area. So it's gaining a lot of government's interest at the moment as well. And I certainly hope that in my lifetime we can have that destination for further explanation of the area.
And Kelly, on a scale of darkness, which is such an amazing thing to say because you think dark is dark, it's 21.9. What does that actually mean? What is the total black?
Yeah, so the darkness scale measures from 0 being the lightest to 22 being the darkest. So this area regularly measures in at 21.9, so almost as dark as you can get. And that is on average, and that was undertaken by the people of the Dark Sky Reserve Committee that were putting together the application originally. So it's a consistent measurement that it is on average almost as dark as you can get.
That's amazing. And Kelly, how much on the radar is our dark sky of those worldwide stargazing fanatics? Because it really is something that's been going on, as you said, since the dawn of time, since people first looked up and then they got the telescope.
Yes. So in comparison to other areas, there's definitely a lot of really dark places, and Arkaroola, as we mentioned before, complete isolation from light pollution, so incredibly dark areas. We're not saying that this area is 100% the darkest. Basically, it's just a wonderful way to be able to build capacity. So the more dark sky reserves and sanctuaries and parks that we can get, the better off we all are. And we all need to take a moment to think about how we can play a role in this in our society. If you think about light pollution, what actually is it? It's wasted light, street lamps, shops that are open, you know, that have got their lights on 24/7, festoon lights, Christmas lights, just constant lighting of our area. And if you think about light pollution in general, if pollution itself, we've got, you know, soil pollution and air pollution, and so light pollution is something relatively new that we're still learning about. So as much as we can protect the areas, you know, is beneficial for our future generations. And as you say, the telescopes, you know, astronomy has been around a long time. In this area of Mannum, there was a gentleman called David Shearer. His brother and him built the very first steam engine car in the world with a differential in Mannum, and now housed in the National Motor Museum. But on the side, David Shearer was an astronomer in his own right, and his telescope is on display at the Mannum Dock Museum and Information Centre. He joined the British Astronomical Society in 1907, so he knew back then how amazing it was in this area. So also the very first private observatory in South Australia is built and still able to be seen at the top of the Golden Stairs in Mannum. So there is a lot of history here in this area, which we incorporate in our commentary and our storytelling.
And Kelly, you're of course building what I would call in tourism the power of the package, because people can go up to the area and see other activities like Monado Zoo. As you said, there's now wineries, distilleries. That area is really growing for tourism, and of course the beautiful river.
It is, yes. We've got a number of great accommodation properties. There's options for people to go on paddle wheelers and boats for enjoyment. And also the Bend Motorsport Park is action-packed, not very far away. Langhorn Creek Winery is really close. It's quite a central location to many areas. So it is certainly growing interest, and that is really exciting. And it is a reason for people to come and stay a bit longer. Sometimes we encourage people to stay a couple of nights just in case we do have inclement weather on one of the nights. So that's a real reason to stay longer when there's other things to do as well. The Bridgeport Hotel, standout game changer accommodation in Murray Bridge, not far away from our departure point of Manham. And we also do have another part of our tour where people can pay $100 per person to self-drive to our astronomy site, just 20 minutes out of Manham, and just do the icing on the cake part of listening to Joe Greeter, our astronomer, and his wife Lynn. It's about an hour and a half, the session that happens in the astronomy, and of course it's the pinnacle, and we're on top of the cliff of the Murray River, so it's quite an impressive view as people arrive at twilight and then heading into the darkness, just finding out so much information about astronomy.
That's better than the balloon flights where you head off at 3 a.m. in the morning to get the Barossa by 4 a.m. and they go, sorry, not flying today.
Well, there's so many aspects of tourism that are weather dependent. There's nothing that can help us. Mother Nature has her own way. And so we always have, you know, a plan B and a plan C. But as I said earlier, this area is known for cloud-free nights. We often have this misconception that people want to come in summer. Often we have summer storms more so than the winter rain.
So this year we had massive summer storms.
This year was really crazy. We have a lot of wrinkles and grey hairs trying to work the weather out this season. Very unseasonal. But definitely winter, we only have an average of 12 to 14 inches of rain per year here. So it is quite a dry area anyway. And they're those amazingly crisp nights when you can see our galaxy the best.
Which is perfect. And so your future plans, Kelly, where would you like to see this go?
Extraordinarily, we're seeing so many more internationals come all the time. We've got more capacity in flights coming into Adelaide. So we want to keep pursuing the international folks that haven't got the blessing of seeing the night sky like our ancestors could. So we really want to tap into that accessibility. We also are very keen on having expansion of some sort of different style accommodation. So there already are a couple of glamping tent options just out of Manham as well. So, you know, building on those where you'll be able to look up and see the stars while you're sleeping or meant to.
You got to cut the tops out, Kelly.
Yes. Oh, so nice. Like, remember the days you used to sleep on the trampoline as a
Absolutely.
Child and look up? Yeah. And also, of course, you know, I want to mention again that I hope in my lifetime that we will be able to see the dream of having an observatory come alive. And it would just be so incredible because it's sort of like maybe it could be as good as Cube in McLaren Vale, build it and that will become a destination in its own right. And, you know, it'll be something for South Australia to really hang its hat on because we don't have another opportunity like this at the moment in Australia to be so close to have this wonderful sky to look at.
So we need to get, I interviewed the Minister of Tourism on the weekend, Kelly. I should have raised this.
The Minister for Tourism, the Honourable Zoe Bettison, is a wonderful ambassador. She's a great supporter. She's been on our Dark Sky Tour before. She really sees the future of this and not just her, but a lot of the government leaders are talking about this. And again, not just tourism, but research and development. And there also is several other parts of industries that are involved. For example, just out of Blanchetown, there's been a location built where people are actually watching in the sky to make sure satellites don't crash into each other. So there's private investment of mini little observatories that people from all around the world can tap into the screens and see what's happening in the sky as well. So there are definitely options and it will just continue to grow.
So importantly, Kelly, how do people book one of these tours?
Yes, anyone can Google River Murray Dark Sky Reserve and our Juggle House Experiences tours will pop up there. There's just Manham Visitor Information Centre is another option, southaustralia.com, easy to Google and find us. And we would love to host as many people as possible with our dark sky, gold stars, sunset dinner. We've got some very unique touring vehicles that we take people on board, glass of bubbles. We usually give out a Milky Way and a Mars bar.
Oh, that is so, I love that. And, perfect matching
and,
there.
And have a, so good. And have a warm Milo as well on the cold nights up on top of the cliff.
Sounds perfect. I've been talking to Kelly Coon, who is the founder of the Dark Sky Tour at our Dark Sky Reserve in Manham. Amazing opportunity for you to go and have a look at this. We're so blessed in South Australia to have incredible tourism destinations and someone like yourself, Kelly, to really have that drive to run this. So thank you for being on the podcast today.
That's my great pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for listening. These podcasts bring you stories from across the state of South Australia, all of the great work being done in our communities and general topics of community interest. Feel free to share these podcasts with your networks and send us any feedback to info@communitycentressa.asn.au.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.